Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Today we're finishing off the chapter on performing two short rakats of Fajr Salah, in other words, the Sunnah of Fajr Salah, and also what should be recited in the two rakat Sunnah of Fajr Salah, and what time they should be performed at. So just to quickly recap, we explained that the two rakats of Fajr Salah, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would read it immediately when the time would set in. In the hadith we did yesterday, and though the azan was still ringing in the ears, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was performing his Fajr Salah. So this explains to us that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would perform the Salah very, very early. And then also Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the riwayat of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that she explained that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the two short rakats of Salah. And it was such that I thought that he didn't even read Surah Fatiha. So short these two rakats of Sunnah were. And then yesterday we did which ayat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, used to read. And we explained that in some time he would read this ayat, Qulu amanna billahi wa ma unzila ilayna. It's found it towards the ending of the first sibara. And then in the second rakat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would read the ayats containing the words Amanna billahi wa shahad bi anna muslimun. And in another riwayat has it that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would read these ayats from Surah Ali Imran. It starts, Qul ya ahl al-kitabi ta'alu ila kalimatin sawa'in baynana wa baynakum. So today we do a hadith that explains the other verses that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam would read in the two rakat sunnah of Fajr Salah. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قرأ في ركعتي الفجر قل يا أيها الكافرون وقل هو الله أحد رواه مسلم. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه narrates that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم recited سورة كافرون and سورة إخلاص. So in the first rakat سورة كافرون, second rakat سورة إخلاص, in the two rakats of فجر Salah. So this is referring to the Sunnah of Fajr Salah. One more hadith that completes this, and we'll do some explanation. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma qal, رمقت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم شهرا فكان يقرأ في الركعتين قبل الفجر قل يا أيها الكافرون وقل هو الله أحد رواه الترمذي. قال حديث حسن. Hazrat Abdullah Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma narrates that I watched, this word رمقت means I watched closely, I watched carefully Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 1 month. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he was a young man, but he looked at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he observed it. This is something for us to learn, that as students also, and as young people, even old people, that we must look at our seniors, look at those that are above us as far as deen is concerned, look at them closely and learn from them, take qualities from them, take understanding from them, because they see in life, they got experience. They also spend time in company of those people that have had experience. So this is a very important quality for a student of deen, is that look at your seniors closely, watch them and take from them, learn from them. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma says that رَمَقْتُ النَّبِيَّ sallallahu alayhi wasallam شَهْرًا. I watched Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam carefully for 1 month. And some narrations have it that it was 40 days, the other has it for 20 days, this the riwayat has it for 1 month. So he explains that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite Surah Kafirun and Surah Ikhlas in the two rakats before the Fajr Salah. Ibn Nujaym rahmatullah alayhi would state, or he stated in Bahr Raiq, that one should regularly recite these two surahs, Surah Kafirun and Surah Ikhlas. However, occasionally now and then, person should recite other surahs. But try and read this. And we explained that one of the reasons, one of the hikmat, is the Surah Kafirun. It negates completely everything else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Negates every style of the kuffar, negates everything that the kuffar worship. In other words, it's Allah and Allah alone. Everything besides Allah is negated. And Surah Ikhlas, it brings about the oneness and speaks about the oneness and the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are starting off the day with the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oneness of Allah ta'ala. Everything else is knocked out. And during the day, as we explained, the person is engaged in his dunya, engaged in his world, engaged in other things. So we encourage also in the sunnah of Maghrib Salah, read these two surahs also. Again, this, these are speaking about taking out all other deities, all other worships, all other ways besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and besides our deen. And then ikhlas, surah ikhlas, bringing about a fortitude as far as our tawheed is concerned. So this is the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he taught us. Sometimes they small, they may seem small outwardly, but in meaning they are very, very great. One other lesson we learn from here is the lesson of love. As students and as people in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for ourselves in general, some general advices, you'll find this word clove. Clove is a spice that is used in food. And when a person uses spice in food, what does it do? It enhances the quality, it enhances the taste, it enhances the desire for people to eat it. So because it's a spice, all it does is it spices up the food. Like that, when a person has got qualities in his life, like how the quality of the food has been increased, when a person has got qualities, has got sifat in his life, it enhances his appeal in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not doing it for show, he enhances his appeal in front of people, but automatically Allah ta'ala makes it such that people get more appeal to this type of person, because he's got qualities, he's got sifat in him. So this clove, you find that it enhances his size, the taste is concerned. Take an example of a cool ring. For example, a person has got a cool ring there, maybe a black in color, but it's got no sugar in it. It's packaged very well, it's got the label, it's got the design, but it's got no sugar. Everything else it's got, just one thing, one ingredient it doesn't have sugar. Will anybody buy that ingredient? It's got no taste. So people won't buy it despite the packaging. So like that, when a person has got qualities in his life, he's got that taste, even if the packaging is not so nice, but because the taste is nice, people will continue buying it and it will start selling. So like that, we need to bring qualities in our life. So very quickly, this clove, it's C, the first thing is commitment. We must be committed, whether we are doing our studies, whether we are out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we are doing, we are committed. And we who are not out in the path of Allah ta'ala, we doing other work, we must be committed to our deen. We are Muslims, we are committed, we have given a full commitment. It mustn't be that deen is on the side and everything else we are committed to. We are fully committed to our deen. So the first thing, C, is commitment. Next thing in clove, you'll find L. L is love. So whatever we do it with the love for Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We do it with complete love. We do it with complete muhabbat. We are studying also in the madrasa. We're doing it with love. We're doing it with muhabbat. When a person has got love, then love teaches him adab. Love teaches him how to go ahead. Love teaches him so many things, how to progress as far as deen is concerned. Sometimes you find a person may have love for shopping. They don't mind spending hours shopping and shopping, even if they come back with nothing, but it made them happy that they would shop. Person loves golf, he can spend hours on the golf course and he won't get tired of it. So the person has got love for something, he doesn't get tired of it. In fact, he wants to go more and more. And like that, so many people got so many different hobbies. One person I met the other day, he got love for snakes. Strange that it sounds. So at home he's got, so to speak, like tanks, small tanks all over, and he got different reptiles that he keeps and he looks after them. What a strange thing, but you get people that they got love for this, so they got that in their heart. Har cheez bhi maza hai, agar dil bhi jaga hai. Person will find enjoyment in anything, so long as he has love for it in his heart. Therefore, one poet so beautifully he said that muhabbat ka andaz nirala paya, jisko sabak yaad kiya, usko chutti nahi mila. He said that I found that this, maktaba ishq andaz nirala paya, jisko sabak yaad kiya, usko chutti nahi mila. That I found the school of love very, very strange. The school of love, I found it very, very strange. That person that knew his sabak, he didn't get chutti, he didn't get holiday. The man that learned the sabak of love, he stayed there and he continued staying there because of that love that he had. He didn't give it up. In every other school, the person knew his work, that's the end of it. He goes into another book, he goes into another module, he goes into another kitab. But this love, the person found it and he just remained there. That is love. So the second thing in clove is love. We should have love for our satiza, love for the masajid, love for the Quran Sharif, love for ibadat, love for everything related to deen, to such an extent that we love even the picture of Madina Sharif. We see the green dome out of love, because there is some attachment between this and our deen, attachment between this and our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see a picture of a Kaaba, it makes us happy, Kaaba Sharif, because there is attachment between this and our deen. So love is a very, very broad thing. The next thing that a person in clove, you see, O is for occupation. But our occupation is deen. If a student, this is my occupation in the time of my studies. This is my occupation. My occupation is nothing else. Everything else is by the side. So that occupation is, this is my deen. There was one person that he took it upon himself that I'll mow my lawn every Sunday. Every Sunday. Some time back, so a flood had come. Those days they had the manual lawn mowers, not with electricity or petrol. You move it, and as you're pushing it, it cuts the grass. So he took it upon himself that he's going to mow the lawn. So one day there was a flood. There was a flood. And they had the helicopters flying around to see if anybody needs any emergency services, pulling out people. But they saw one thing very strange, that there was a cap. Somebody that had a cap, and he was walking forward, backward, forward, backward, forward, backward. So as they came closer, they saw that this person in that flood was mowing his lawn. So he had the lawn mower, and he was going in that flood. So they asked him very, very strange, how come that you are mowing your lawn in the condition where there's floods all over? He said, I took it upon myself that every Sunday I'm going to mow my lawn, come what may. Even though this flood had come, because I made it a condition, I didn't want to miss that, leave out that condition. But this is what you call a commitment. When I've given my commitment, the weather doesn't disturb me, the holidays don't disturb me, things outside don't disturb me, I'm committed to what I'm doing. This was the qualities of the Allah Walas. When they committed themselves to the tahajjud, come what may, it can be a cold day also, they're up for the tahajjud, they read the awabin, they were committed to whatever they did as far as deen is concerned. So this, and as far as dunya also, if we got some commitment, and it, for example, is working for somebody, then we give that commitment totally. We're an imam in the masjid, we give that commitment. We're a ustad in the maktab, total commitment. So we make it our objective, our objective, our occupation. So that is the O. The V is value. We value our ustads, we value our parents, we value our neighbors, we value the people around us, we value that even that simple thing as the table in the maktab, this is what we call the madrasa, this desk that Allah Ta'ala has given us, we value it. We don't just take one bubble gum and stick it under. We show appreciation, we value it. The Quran Sharif that we got, we take care of it, we value it. Those kitabs that we got, we keep it nicely, we show value, we appreciate it. So this value and appreciation is a very, very great thing. It takes a person very far. The amount of adab and respect and value we show, that is the amount of benefit we will get. So the next thing to finish off is the abu, the clove. The last thing we get there is the E. What does E is? Is that our expectations. We don't put expectations in people. We don't have any expectation that this person is going to do for me or that person. Our expectations is only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we're doing, that reward of what we're doing is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not going to come from people. I don't expect this man. I don't even expect my own child, my own brother or my own father to do. I put my full expectations in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just some few qualities for us to learn from, some advices. In whichever field we are, whatever we're doing, we commit ourselves, we have love, we make this our occupation, we value and respect everything that Allah Ta'ala has given us that is linked to deen, that we have, we show respect. Even a person that shows respect to his car, then he won't be driving wildly, he won't be revving that thing and screeching tires. He's showing value, he's showing respect. Allah, you gave me this car, I'm using it properly. You gave me this jacket, I look after it. Allah Ta'ala, you've given me shoes, I look after my shoes. You've given me this house, I look after. So everything a person is showing appreciation, showing respect. Then he makes his object, the object that works that Allah Ta'ala has given him, that studies, that now becomes his objective. He's not carried away, shying away. There's a soccer match, let's leave this, let's watch that, let's follow this. All that becomes secondary. He doesn't even concentrate on that. He focuses on what he needs to do. The next thing we explained was he values, appreciates, and the last thing was expectation. His complete expectation is only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nobody else. And how that clove now gives that value, quality and spice to the food, you find a person that has these qualities, Allah ta'ala will make it such that he will be a delight to people's eyes. He will be such that he will be appreciated both from the people of the dunya also and the malaika and those people, those celestial beings that are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will be loved also by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq for making amal. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, alhamdulillah.